A blessed new year to every one of you. 2021, here we are, we made it. And as we begin the first day of the week, the first Sunday to be able to gather together here at Bethany, want to welcome each one of you here in the sanctuary and those online. It is a joy and a delight to be able to share this time together. When we hear more in the series that we've been doing on Home for Christmas, Home for Christmas. That's where we celebrate what we did corporately and throughout the world, really, several days ago, a week ago plus, where we proclaimed that God has made His home with us. Christmas celebration, not just sentiment, because sentiment doesn't save us, but rather the truth and the reality that God in Christ has made His home with you, with me, the person next to you, and that He desires that all people know that, believe that, trust that, live that. And what a blessing it is in this life where often we have to take detours. Detours. Perhaps 2020 was a year of detours for you. Although, if we're honest, we say, you know what, any day can be a detour. That is, I have a plan, and my plan has changed. I think there are probably some people here this morning. The plan already today has changed in terms of what you thought you were going to need to deal with or something that you anticipated that, whoops, not going to happen. I mean, it's constant. It's not in terms of we have to obsess about it. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that there are going to be detours in every part of our life at times. As a matter of fact, plans change, right? School practices change. Financial realities can change. Relationships can change. What happens in a home can change. And sometimes that change is gradual. And at times, I mean, it is just right in your face, just that fast. Political goals can change. Nations can be realigned. Plans that someone made when they were little, because even little people make plans, you know. Hey, it's Christmas Eve. I hope, quote, Santa Claus brings what I want, only to find, whoa, must have lost the letter. I mean, how old do you have to be to experience the fact that things change? Well, what we want to hear again today. Why? Because God wants us to hear, and that's why He calls us to worship faithfully, regularly, so that we hear again. In the midst of a world in which our plans change, that God's plan to bring you home, to let you know in a broken world there is healing, God's plan which says, I don't know what you are fearing about your past, but I grant you a day of mercy and grace and forgiveness every day. We need to hear that. Our plans change. God's plan doesn't. Now, you may have had plan A, right? Are any of you living with your plan A? You know, the one you made? When you had charted your life out, including who you're going to marry and what kind of house you're going to live in and where you're going to go to school, perhaps, in middle school, junior high, it doesn't matter. I mean, whoa. Plan A on the shelf. Now I'm on plan B. Well, as a matter of fact, plan B is on the shelf. I don't know where you are, but it might be plan Z and then loop around plan AA, AB, all right? At iterations. Want to talk in the gospel that we're going to be reading today from Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at that. About how plans changed for two people, Mary and Joseph, and Jesus, kind of a youngster in arms, a little one in arms, initially obviously an infant, and then maybe when this happened, he may have been just a little bit older. And this is what happened. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And when they came to Jerusalem, they said to Herod, where is he who was born king of the Jews? Let's stop there just a moment right in the middle of that. All right, so you have three guys, maybe 10 guys, we don't know. It's associated with three because there were three gifts. We don't know. We know they were from the east. What does that mean? Well, they were Persian, perhaps, from Iran, what is now Iran or Iraq. They were scholar types. They had read stories about religious history. They had no doubt heard that there's this group over in Israel, and they believe in one God, not God on every mountaintop or every tree, and that this God is going to come back into the world. He created it, and he's going to enter the world, and he is going to bring liberation, a golden age. He's going to bring oppression to an end. I mean, it's not like people hadn't heard that story. Maybe they did. They were also very much tuned into the heavens, because there was the belief that whatever aligns up in the heavens, and that's where we get the whole thing of astrology and what's your sign, that your sign determines your future. Very deterministic. No sense of ever being able to break out of that. So they looked at the sky because they did notice that there are certain convergences, there are certain numbers that can be used to predict things. I mean, these folks were not dumb at all. I mean, they're smart. They looked at the stars like, I don't know if any of you remember, and I don't know how much you were into this, the age of Aquarius. Do you remember that? All right, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's all right. Ask mom, ask dad, ask grandma and grandpa, okay? The age of Aquarius, harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding. Jupiter and Mars are going to line up, and then all of these beautiful things are going to happen. People were looking for that thousands of years ago. And these wise men didn't see yet that the harmony and understanding, sympathy and peace abounding, was not a function of the stars lining up. It was happening in the babe that Mary embraced. You see, that's God's plan. Well, they tell Herod, where is this king born? And boy, that will upset a king when you go in and say, tell you what, where's the king, king? It's kind of like a football coach who reads in the paper that about five people are lined up for his job or whatever, right? I mean, okay. I mean, that has to be a bit disconcerting. So Herod was not only distressed, he was enraged. And Satan, the enemy of God's plan, the one who is looking to derail God's plan of rescue and salvation and hope, Satan, the enemy, the evil one, worked through Herod. Because then Herod said, this can't happen. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why? Well, because when Herod's bothered, tell you what, he's in charge, everyone's bothered. And what did he do? He assembled the chief priests and scribes of the people, the Jewish people, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him. Now, why did they tell him this? Well, because they, the religious leaders, had proclaimed and discerned from Old Testament scriptures, God's plan is that this rescuer is going to be born in Bethlehem. You see, that's God's plan. So, that is what happened. And then he repeats, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means least among the rulers of Judah, from you, from you. See, this was 600 years before this. God's plan shall come a ruler, and he will shepherd, beautiful word, shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Written 900 years before Jesus. The image of the Lord being the shepherd, the one who guides, who directs, who leads to quiet waters, to still waters, who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. It is this God, it is this God that is going to be born. Then Herod summoned the men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. Secretly, he meets with them. And he sent them to Bethlehem. I want you to go find this king. They say he's going to be born in Bethlehem. I want you to find him. Search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Do you see how Satan works? Through deceit. Bait and switch. Something looks really good. You go after it. You experience it. You say, hey, I fight. Whoa. Whoa. And then the backlash. Then the fact that, okay, that didn't meet my deepest needs is experienced. Deceit. Oh, I just want to worship him. No, he wanted to destroy him. He wanted to derail, Satan working through Herod, wanted to derail God's plan. And the God-man child then, Jesus, who was going to bring to fullness and fruition God's plan. To go into the jaws of death, to breathe his last physically, and to be put in a tomb, a cold tomb. And Satan is saying, we got to get rid of him. We got to get rid of him now. Because if we don't get rid of him now, I'm going to have to try to get rid of him later. And I want to get rid of him now. And God says, that's Herod's plan. I'm going to change his plan. You see, God's plan is never changed. Well, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take this child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod was about to search for the child to destroy him. And as a matter of fact, he got away with it. You can read in Jewish history and literature, he got away with killing a lot of baby boys. He got away with killing a lot of baby boys. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. A prophet, a speaker on behalf of God, had said hundreds of years before that God, even as he brought Israel, now a little bit of history here, that you may know this, what became the Jewish nation at one time was a group of people 450 years prior to getting out of Egypt. They were basically enslaved or certainly oppressed. And God brought those people out of Egypt to keep his promise that through Jewish teaching and through Jewish community, people would see the salvation of the world. You see, God's plan going to work through those dear people. He brought them out of Egypt. And now he brings Jesus out of Egypt. See, what he promised to his people, who then betrayed the promise, he promised in Jesus, who did not betray the promise, and he brings him out of Egypt. Mary and Joseph's plans, no doubt, changed significantly in terms of where they thought they would be after this baby was born. But God's plan doesn't change. There's a great passage in Hebrew chapter 13, verse 8. That in the midst of a world that changes moment by moment, And in the process of change creates anxiety and uncertainty. And at times disruption, not only in schedules, but in lives that are more than just a schedule. These words, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, some might think, yesterday, today, and forever, nothing changes. It's been bad from the beginning. It's going to be bad in the end. I'm never going to get out from under this emotional rock. I'm never going to get able to see the sun come up. I mean, more of the same. What's today? More of the same. That's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is evidence of the fact that we need to have our eyes fixed on the one who doesn't change over against the things that do change or created change in our lives that we haven't gotten past yet. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Scripture is replete with references to Jesus being present at creation. He didn't just show up. The pre-existent Christ with the Father and the Spirit were in fellowship from the beginning, the moment, and eternal time where it's always been. He's the same as he was then. What? Creating, loving, planning. It says in Scripture, before the foundation of the earth was laid, God had his plan to create us for relationships. He also knew that we would break relationships and break that bond, and that he needed to reach out and call us and bring us back in. That was yesterday. Jesus was faithful to the plan yesterday, in the past. He is faithful today. Today. Paul writes, today is the day of your salvation. Yesterday was also. Although if you didn't know Jesus yesterday, I guarantee you, you're in bad shape. Today is the day of your salvation. Today, Jesus, in the waters of baptism, it says, was united with you. I've never been alone since baptism. I've been loved from the beginning, but the beauty of baptism, it connected me to Jesus. So when I inhale, Christ is with me. When I exhale, Christ is with me. When I'm sitting all by myself, Christ sits with me. When I'm so busy I can't see straight, Christ is busy with me. When you're making plans about your future, Christ is there with you. He's there with you today. Today he says to you, and we heard it, Pastor Todd shared, these aren't words we make up. These are words of Jesus. Today, your sins are forgiven. Today, I say to you, fear not, don't be afraid. Every day, forever, granting his grace today. He is the same today as he was when he said yes to the Father's word, Jesus, go and be born and live a life that my children live, a life of at times joy and delight and celebration and laughter and hugging kids and hugging one another. And I want you also to experience the reality of betrayal, rejection, physical abuse, and death. Jesus, you take upon yourself all of that stuff that people cannot get out from under themselves. You take it upon yourself. And Jesus, it's gonna kill you, because that's what sin does. That's what brokenness eventually morphs into. And he said, I'll do it. I'll take the assignment, even if it cost me my life, but I trust, Father. Jesus, true man, remember? And true God. I trust that you're going to lift me from the grave. And the Father lifted Jesus from the grave. And he calls us now to trust. Huh? Did Jesus have faith? Yes, he had faith the Father would do what he promised. And now we trust that Jesus, the same yesterday, today, if he says your sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. Okay? God's plan. God's plan. And if anyone here is still chafing or oppressed because they figure they did something that they're never, ever going to squeeze out of or squirm out of, or sooner or later it's going to get you. Jesus' death on the cross is bigger than that. And his life of resurrected power and strength is what he gives to his children. He's the same today as when he came out of the grave. He's alive. And then forever. Forever. I like to say, depending on the context and if it's appropriate, many times it is. I share with someone, it's been a bad day. It's been a bad week. I've heard you. I hear you. It's been a bad year. I would feel the same way in my own sense, given what you've gone through. But you know what? We're in it for the long haul. We play the long game because God plays the long game. That is, there's no moment, there's no night, there's no weekend, there's no trauma, there's no tragedy, but that the Lord's light is going to shine through that because he is in it for the long haul. He's in it forever with you. And in the light of that forever, the darkness of the moment, and it is dark for many, the light is going to shine because God's going to bring us home. And he's going to sustain our steps as we walk through perhaps the valley of the shadow of death, but you see, it's a shadow. A shadow. Jesus took death and buried it and is now alive and says to you and me, welcome home into my loving embrace and strength, and trust that when you flipped that calendar from 2020, thinking, oh, now it's going to, hey, you woke up January the 1st with everything going on that was going on December the 31st. Because Jesus is the same, and he is going to strengthen us day by day as we go into, quote, a new calendar year. So it is in Jesus that we can say to one another, a blessed year to you, to us, to his people at Bethany. The Lord's peace be with you. Amen.